Due to technical difficulties, this is a re-recording of the message delivered 31st of October 2015. Have you ever been in a position of having to explain why something others believe is unimportant is important to you? Have you tried to explain why this is important only to have them discount what you have said as merely fiction and fabrication? Consider the plight of the prophet Elijah, who was sent by Yahweh to the village of Tzarfat in Sidon, as we read in 1 Kings 17. Yahweh sent his prophet to seek out a woman by the gate, whom he had told to provide Eliyahu with bread to eat. Everything seemed to be going well for the man, until he realized when he asked the woman for some food, she hadn't yet heard from God. I suspect Eliyahu didn't anticipate her panic and anger when she replied to his request for bread. As Adonai your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a pot and a little oil in the jug. Here I am gathering a couple of sticks of wood so that I can go and cook it for myself and my son. After we have eaten, we will die. Some context is needed here. Israel had been in the throes of a drought. There were no crops, nothing was growing. The people of the region were suffering greatly, with the widows and orphans the hardest hit. In some desperate cases, with all their animals eaten or dead from thirst, disease, or starvation, some people had turned to cannibalism. So along comes this stranger who asks the woman for some food, which would deprive her and her son of the last bit of food before they too starve to death. How was Eliyahu to explain to her there would be plenty of food for him and for her son and for herself? This was an impossible task. Here is how he responded to her. Don't be afraid. Go and do what you said. But first, use a little of it to make me a small loaf of bread and bring it out to me. After that, make food for yourself and your son. For this is what Yahweh, the God of Israel, says. The pot of meal will not get used up, nor will there fail to be oil in the jug until the day Adonai sends rain down on the land. And she did. Can you imagine the level of trust she had to accept this prophecy from a man she had never before met? Abba Father, I pray that our hearts and minds are open to your leading as we explore the impossible, the understanding that Israel matters to the world today. In your beloved name I pray. Almost every week I am faced with the assertion Israel really doesn't matter today. God is finished with them and has turned to the church to carry on the task he had slated for the Jewish people. And many of those who take this position are professed believers. The non-believers are more direct with me. Israel is a pariah in the world today. The treatment of the Palestinians is testament to her being hated so vehemently. If you haven't been treated to these condemnations yet, take heart, you soon will be. So today I have been directed to discuss with you why and how Israel matters in the current age in which we live. We will begin with Yahweh's pledge of love for the Jewish people. The prophet Jeremiah, who spoke Yahweh's word to the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, during their 70-year exile in Babylonia, shares this prophecy with us in his 31st chapter. I love you with an everlasting love. This is why, in my grace, I draw you to me. Once again, I will build you. You will be rebuilt, Virgin of Yisrael. Once again, equipped with your tambourines, you will go out and dance with the merrymakers. Try explaining this to those who have claimed God is finished with the Jewish people. In his book, Israel Matters, Jacob Franchak explains what Yahweh may have meant when he spoke of Israel by claiming there are six categories of meaning for the word Israel. Israel refers to Yaakov, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Israel refers to Yaakov's descendants along with proselytes, the Jewish people. Israel refers to the land of Israel, which took that name after the Israelites conquered it. Israel refers to the unified nation, the state of Israel, under the great kings David and Solomon. In this context, it also refers to the land from which Adonai Yeshua reigns during his millennial reign. Israel refers to the northern kingdom of Israel, which broke away from the union under the reign of Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And Israel refers to the Jewish and non-Jewish believers in Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, who have accepted his life instructions, his Torah, and have stepped forward in faith. Within Scripture, the term Israel is used only within these six categories and does not refer to the church in any way. Throughout Scripture, then, and in the hearts of true believers, Israel has always meant Jewish and non-Jewish believers and not in the institutional church. However, here is where the mystery becomes evident, when we begin to explain how it is possible non-Jewish believers become part of Israel. Ephesians 2 provides us with a quality explanation of what Rav Shaul calls the great mystery of the gospel. Reading Shaul's words to us in Ephesians 2, we find, "Therefore, remember your former state, you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised by those who merely because of an operation on their flesh are called the circumcised. At that time had no Messiah. You were estranged from the national life of Israel. You were foreigners to the covenants embodying God's promise. You were in this world without hope and without God. But now, you who were once far off have been brought near through the shedding of the Messiah's blood." Without Israel, then, there would have been no covenant for Gentiles to join. Unfortunately, many Gentile believers in institutional churches appear to have engaged in what N.T. Wright calls putting the church jigsaw puzzle together without taking all the pieces out of the box. The picture which has been constructed is incomplete, with large gaps preventing a clear understanding. To help us understand more clearly why Israel matters in the world today, let's go to Scripture, specifically those passages within their context which speak of Israel in the past, now, and in the future. Our first stop in this journey is Isaiah 41, in which we read, "For I, Adonai your God, say to you, as I hold your right hand, have no fear, I will help you. Have no fear, Yaakov, you worm, you men of Israel. I will help you, says Adonai. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel." This passage was written approximately 701 to 681 BCE, during the Assyrian exile of the Northern Kingdom, and was focused primarily on comforting Yahweh's people in exile, should they turn back to their Elohim. To understand the import of these two verses, we need to hear the verse before, verse 12. "Yes, those who made war with you will be brought to nothing, nothing at all." Well, we know the Assyrian Empire fell to the Greeks, which fell to the Romans, which fell also to the other godless peoples. However, this passage also speaks to more modern times, when the surrounding Arab nations attacked the newly formed state of Israel in 1948, 1956, 1967, 1973, and were soundly defeated by a country which, by all logic and science, should have been wiped off the face of the earth. Clearly, Yahweh's words, "I will help you," says Adonai, "your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel," were true then and are true now.
"And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious. They held harps given them by God, and they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb.
And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. in the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your words, Lord God Almighty. Shall not fear you, O Lord, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the
Then we have the words of Yahweh uttered by Amos in chapter 9. When that day comes, I will raise up the fallen Sukkah of David. I will close up its gaps, raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as it used to be. I will restore the fortunes of my people Yisrael. They will rebuild and inhabit the ruined cities. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine, cultivate gardens and eat their fruit. We witnessed this happening from the late 1900s into the middle of the 20th century and beyond, as Jewish people flocked to Israel during periods of oppression in Russia and Europe. As this dangerous and violent wave of anti-Semitism once again reasserts itself even in North America, we will see verse 15 of chapter 9 coming to fruition. I will plant them on their own soil, no more to be uprooted from their land which I gave them, says Adonai your God. Do you see Yahweh's truth being revealed right before your eyes? Over the past 120 years, Jewish people from Russia, the Ukraine, and Europe have built up Israel from a land of desert and swamps, which no one, not even the Arabs, wanted. Through perseverance, struggle, and a supernatural desire to reclaim their homeland, these early pioneers have created orchards where none existed, have caused the desert to bloom and have created a nation which is a net exporter of food, unlike their hostile neighbors on all three sides. But agriculture was not the only miracle within the land. The prophecy of Ezekiel 36 is being fulfilled even on this day. In verses 11 and 12, we read, "I will multiply both the human and animal populations. They will increase and be productive, and I will cause you to be inhabited as you were before. Indeed, I will do you more good than before, and you will know that I am Adonai. I will cause people to walk on you, my people Israel. They will possess you, and you will be their inheritance. Never again will you make them childless." And to this we can add Ezekiel 37, verses 5 and 6, when Yahweh caused Ezekiel to prophesy about the dry bones returning to life. "I will make breath enter you, and you will live. I will attach ligaments to you, make flesh grow on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you. You will live, and you will know that I am Adonai." Even as I am speaking with you this very moment, the population of Israel has increased by 460 people, mainly through birth and the steady trickle of 88 new Jewish immigrants from France, Africa, Ukraine, and North America. There has always been a remnant in Israel, as small as it may have been. However, from 1948, when there were 806,000 Jewish people living in Israel, to 2015, the population of Jewish Israelis has increased to 6,300,000, while the population of Arab Israelis stands at 1,746,000. That is, on average, 82,000 people per year returning to Israel in each of the last 67 years. This is a true miracle. However, the future for Israel, the state and nation, does not look positive, at least not from the world's view. Yahweh spoke to this when, through the prophet Zechariah in chapter 2, said, "Anyone who injures you injures the very pupil of my eye." We know then, through this and other prophecies, Israel will prevail simply because his people are the apple of God's eye. At the conclusion of the Ottoman Empire's hold on Israel in 1918, Israeli forests had been denuded. Erosion swept away the topsoil and the land was turned into desert and swamp. However, within two decades, with many thousands of trees being planted and a state-of-the-art irrigation system created, Isaiah's prophecy, found in Isaiah 41:19, "I will plant the desert with cedars, acacias, myrtles, and olive trees. In the Arava, I will put cypresses together with elm trees and larches." Now there are small forests in Israel where none had grown for thousands of years. And how can we ignore Isaiah's prophecy found in chapter 27, verse 6? "The time is coming when Yaakov will take root. Israel will bud and flower and fill the whole world with a harvest." Examining this verse at the surface level, we may see Israel as a net exporter of food. In many grocery stores across Europe and North America, at least those which have not boycotted Israeli produce, you will find Jaffa oranges, bananas, olives, and olive oil, and many forms of vegetables. However, reading this at a deeper level, we may read the harvest being of souls through the spreading of the gospel of Adonai Yeshua by his disciples over the past two millennia. Right now, across the world's continents, there are approximately 2 billion followers of Adonai Yeshua, Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. Who would have thought this little country of 22,145 square kilometers, compared to Manitoba with 649,950 square kilometers, a difference of 29 times, would be the major focus of the world's news and the world's stumbling block. But a stumbling block first to the Jewish people, as we read in Isaiah 8:14, he is there to be a sanctuary, but for both the houses of Israel, he will be a stone to stumble over, a rock obstructing their way, a trap and a snare for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Many of them will stumble and fall, be broken and trapped and captured. And in Zechariah 12, verse 3, we read, "It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it." We know this will happen, since we see the gathering occurring today. Believe me, my friends, it will not take long before all the nations of the world will actively or passively turn against Israel. And then we have one of the most important prophecies found in Isaiah 66. Who ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such things? Is a country born in one day? Is a nation brought forth all at once? For as soon as Zion went into labor, she brought forth her children. But let's not ignore the most important reason why Israel matters today. Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. As you listen to these verses in Scripture, are you able to hear the promises? First, from Deuteronomy 18:15, Adonai will raise up for you a prophet like me from among yourselves, from your own kinsmen. You are to pay attention to him. From Isaiah 7:14, therefore Yahweh himself will give you people a sign. The young woman will become pregnant, bear a son and name him Emmanuel. God is with us. In this passage, the idiom young woman refers to a virgin. And from Isaiah 9:6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. Dominion will rest on his shoulders, and he will be given the name Pele Yoetz, El Gibor, Avi Ad, Zar Shalom. Pele Yoetz means wonder of a counselor, El Gibor, mighty God, Avi Ad, father of eternity, and Zar Shalom, prince of peace. There are many more prophecies I could have added, over 300 as a matter of fact, but I think these drive the point home. Beloved, most of the prophecies presented here have already come to fruition. Thus, it is not a stretch to conclude the prophecies yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled. So, to the question raised at the beginning of this message, does Israel matter? This is Yahweh's land, a land set apart for him, and it will be handed to his chosen people in its fullness at the time of his choosing. So again, I ask you, does Israel matter? Abba, our beloved Yahweh, fill the hearts of those who are skeptical about the truth of your relationship with Israel, the land, and the people. Please help those within institutional churches to realize they are part of Israel and have not replaced Israel as the apple of God's eye. Please fill us with the confidence of knowing, as most of the prophecies pertaining to Israel have been fulfilled, those few which have not will be fulfilled soon. Help us all to realize Israel matters. In your beloved name I pray. Amen.
And I hear the voice of Ezekiel prophesying to these dry bones. Live again, live again. Those who are sleeping, those in the grave. Live again, live again. Those who are sleeping, those in the grave. Live again. I hear the sound of an army, a nation preparing for war. And I can hear Judah assembling praises, their weapon of war. Live again, live again. Those who are sleeping, those in the grave. Live again, live again. Those who are sleeping, those in the grave.
To these dry bones, breath of God from before.